Today on Gimme an E, we're diving into the potential risks and rewards of testosterone supplements and discussing how DHEA might help older guys boost their T levels. We'll also talk about mouth taping and claims that it can help you get hard. Is that possible? Plus, I share success stories from listeners like you. So let's get into it. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Gimme an E, the show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Gimme an E! Hello and welcome to Gimme an E! And this week I want to start with a very special question. It's our Ultimate Stiffness Question of the Week, brought to you by the Ultimate Stiffness Bundle. More information on how you can get access to that is actually in the show notes. Each week I'll select one of the best questions that you've submitted and I'm going to answer it right here. So today's question is...
Dr. Rachel, huge fan of yours, watch you quite frequently, and I have a question for you. I've been on TRT therapy for a couple years now because my testosterone was so low, and it's made a huge difference. But a negative side effect is that I'm noticing that my testicles are shrinking. From what I've read, I may need to take HCG with it to keep that from happening. What is your preference and recommendations, please?
All right. Thank you so much for your support and your question. So this question is something that I want to back up and kind of explain where it's coming from so that you can understand what's happening here. So here's the thing. Once you start taking testosterone replacement therapy, unless we do something to try to remind your testicles to stay awake and to stay active, they will shrink on you. And the main reason that they shrink is because we basically have a really fine-tuned mechanism going on between the brain and your testicles, where the brain sends messages to the testicles, hey, you know what? We need some testosterone, so make some. So then the testicles, the Leydig cells go ahead and they start making testosterone. Once you start taking testosterone, that signaling stops. And so the brain is no longer telling your testicles to, hey, let's make more testosterone. And just like everything else, the testicles go to sleep. They're like, well, nobody's using us, so we'll go to sleep. And because they go to sleep and because that messaging isn't happening, they actually will start to shrink on you. So in the TRT space, what we try to do is we try to, first of all, let you know that that's potentially what's going to happen. But then we also do things like give Clomid to you so that the idea is that your body is constantly, so the Clomid is taking the place of the brain signaling and it's telling your testicles to still continue to make testosterone even though some is on board. Now, there's no real clinical data that supports, you know, that says that this is actually working. In clinical practice, I feel like it did work and we were, depending on which testosterone guru you follow, we all kind of feel like there are things that you can put in place to prevent the shrinkage. But here's the thing. Once the shrinkage takes place, there's really no way to undo the shrinkage other than to do your own protocols to try to make your testicles bigger. You'll go online and you'll ask, hey, Google, how can I make my testicles bigger? And Google will say, you know, there's never been any clinical proven way to make your testicles bigger. Just like they'll say with your erection, but you can actually get a pumping system. You know, we're talking about a penis pump here that actually has a cylinder that's big enough for you to place your testicles and your penis in it. And what you actually do, and now I actually have one of these systems here, you'd be surprised at actually how big this cylinder is, you know, and it's a double pumping system. And so what you're actually doing is you're carefully placing your testicles in the chamber along with your penis and you're actually pumping them and you're holding them under pressure long enough, for them to get a little plumper and then you're releasing pressure. And there are whole systems and protocols out there just for testicular enlargement. Dr. Joel Kaplan, he makes a pump that's designed to plump things up and make your testicles bigger. So when it comes to making your penile tissue bigger or making your testicles bigger, I mean, this is a process. This is a time thing. You dedicate the time and the energy to do it. You find the right pressure so that you're not injuring yourself. Of course, you speak with your doctor first to make sure that they're okay with you doing it. And you will go online and you start looking, and there are whole communities of gentlemen who will attest to the fact that you can actually plump up the size of your testicles and your penile tissue with the pumping and the vacuum. So that's going to be your only way to get your size back. So the best thing to do is, before you get on testosterone replacement therapy, is to have the conversation with your doctor about what can we do to put in place some protocols so that my testicles don't go to sleep and that they continue making testosterone through the years, so that they don't shrivel up into little almonds or raisins. Awesome. Thank you for your question. I hope this helps. That is the ultimate stiffness question of the week. If you want to submit your question, you can call 219-200-3000. That number is in the show notes as well. So a little over 2 years ago, I introduced the world to my E-Function smoothie recipes. The results were phenomenal. I took clinically proven ingredients and created delicious smoothies designed to help revolutionize men's sexual health. The Dr. Rachel Institute was founded upon the principle of keeping families together. And the idea that I could help do that just by putting these smoothie recipes into the lives of men around the world was just beyond my comprehension. As a matter of fact, Dale just wrote me the other day to say, my wife and I have been using your E-Function smoothie recipes often. They're working. For me, this podcast is a new way for me to reach a whole new audience, and I want to make sure that you have access to this level of information. So I've got a special offer for you. You can get 25% of my E-Function Smoothie Recipe Book 2.0 with promo code GIVEMEANE, all one word. GIVEMEANE is the promo code. The link to buy my E-Function Smoothie Recipe Book is in the show notes. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do in a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. So I really appreciate you and your questions. And also anything that we're talking about, if you have your own personal testimonials, some things you've tried that have helped you, things that have worked, please feel free to share, because this is the environment we want to have here where it's safe. We can share, we can help, and we can just all learn from each other, myself included, because although I am a physician and a sexologist and I've got an MD, I am learning every single day. If you see me out and about, you'll notice I'm reading something. You know, I'm never one of those ones that I'm just on here on social media looking, seeing, but I'm always reading something and I'm always trying to learn. And so you guys have a lot to teach me and I have a lot to teach you. And so that's why this relationship works really well. And this is the type of relationship that you should have with your doctor. It should not be one-sided where they're just giving you information and direction. It should always be collaborative. So I want you to think of this experience that we have here. It should be very similar to the relationship that you have with your own personal doctor, because your doctor actually works for you and with you. They shouldn't just be saying, this is how it's going to be. done, blah, blah, blah. All right. So if your doctor isn't working for you or is shaming you in any particular way, guess what? You've got choices and it may be time to kick them to the curb. Awesome. So I love this. This is great. So Michael, this is a really good thing. Aren't we predisposing ourselves to hair loss if we attempt to enhance our testosterone with increased additions of ashwagandha, fenugreek, or GNC testosterone supplements? So I think what, Michael, what you're actually referring to is that in certain supplements can actually help block DHT, right? And what DHT has been known to do in certain populations, and the verdict is out as to whether or not this happens to the prostate and the hair. But when DHT levels typically go up, which is dihydrotestosterone, we see hair loss in some people. Sometimes we see a little bit of male pattern baldness there. And so what a lot of supplements will do, particularly ones that are geared towards preventing hair loss, is they will actually block DHT. The problem with blocking too much DHT is not when you're blocking DHT, you're blocking a lot of other things from happening. So remember, when testosterone is made in your body, whether somebody gives you testosterone through a shot or whether you're personally making it, that testosterone can either become estrogen, it can become DHT, it can stay as testosterone, or it can actually be bound up as like as a bound version of testosterone. The testosterone that we're most interested in boosting is always going to be the free testosterone, so you can use more of it. So the thing about supplements, and when you read a supplement label and it's got 20 different things in it and it says on there, boost testosterone, you really do have to slow down and look at each one, what each one of those is doing, because sometimes a scientist just made that formula and just gave it to you and they're marketing it, and there really may not be a lot of science behind it, or it might actually do some things to your body that you might not necessarily need. So not all testosterone supplements are going to mitigate DHT. But I can say this, everybody's body is different in terms of when your body makes that testosterone, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to turn into estrogen? Is it going to turn into free testosterone? Is it going to stay bound up as testosterone, or is it going to turn into DHT? And so technically what you want is a nice balance so that most of your testosterone is not turning into estrogen and that a good portion of it is staying free, and you want some of it to turn into DHT, because even though DHT seems to be responsible for a little bit of balding up here, it actually too helps grow muscle. It's like a very amped up form of testosterone. So it really is a delicate fine balance. And I've seen guys on different sides of the coin. Some guys will say, hey, I want my testosterone up there, I don't care about the hair loss. And some people will say, you know, DHT, you know, block it, I want to keep my hair. So everybody is really different. And what you'll find on your wellness journey is you kind of have to prioritize what's most important to you, but also keeping in mind family history and your own personal health journey, right? Because some of us are on different journeys. Some of you have been healthy your whole life and haven't had anything going on. Some of you may have encountered prostate cancer. Some of you may have a family history of certain cancers. So you really do have to take all of the information that you learn here, that you learn somewhere else, that your doctor tells you, that you learn at GNC, and you always have to think, how does this fit into my box, right? Because each and every one of us are different. So you always have to think that. And sure, with any type of supplement, you've got to pay attention. If it's got 9 different things in there, what do those 9 different things do, right? You don't want, you know, sometimes you get a multivitamin, it's got 30 different things in it. Well, do you need all 30 of those things? Probably not. That's why I really kind of advocate for more of a supplements that are, you know, you kind of know what you're getting, as opposed to, you know, you buy 10 different supplements that have 20 different things in them each, you really kind of don't know what you're taking. And a lot of that you probably don't really need. And some of it may be battling with each other. So supplements can be tricky. And so for those of you who are on like 50 different things, I want you to stand back and say, is it working for me? And what do I mean by that? Is it working for me? Do I feel healthy? Do I look good? Do I feel good? And is my hair doing what I want it to do? Is the D working? Like all of these things, is it really helping? Is it working for you? And if not, What you really want to do is stop all of them and just start adding one thing in at a time every 2 weeks to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. Another way to figure it out is to get micro and macronutrient testing. There are tests out there that will tell you, what are you deficient in? What do you need more of? And you can start there. Now, once you realize what you're deficient in and what you need more of, then you add those things on, and then you decide from that point forward, what do you want to be even better at? Like, what health parameters are you really focused on? And that's how you layer your supplements in. You don't just, you know, shotgun and do everything. And actually, one of the questions today is about a supplement a guy's taking, and he wants to know what my thoughts are on it because his doctor told him that maybe taking it long term isn't that good. So we'll go through that. So thanks for these questions. These are great. Awesome. Let me see. Very good. Awesome. Blessings. Ah, how about taking DHEA? Is that healthy for an older guy? So DHEA is actually a supplement that I've used in women. I've used DHEA in men. And what DHEA is a precursor, so to speak, of testosterone formation. So what it is when you're thinking about everything that's made in your body, right? I want you to think that there's a few steps to get to that hormone. There's a few steps to make thyroid hormone. There's a few steps to make testosterone. And what happens is at the very beginning of those steps is cholesterol, right? This is why sometimes we talk about if you're not getting any cholesterol, you're on a completely low fat diet, you will be unhealthy. You'll be weak. Your testosterone will be low. All types of hell will break loose. And, you know, you'll look at it, doctors say everything is fine. And it may just be that your cholesterol is way too low and you're on a low cholesterol diet and all those things. So first of all, the building blocks and foundation of testosterone and all of our steroid hormones is going to be cholesterol. So what DHEA is a precursor to testosterone formation. So you can take DHEA and we put it in the system and we hope and pray that it turns into testosterone in the right way, right? So DHEA is a nice intermediate way to try. It's something to try to see if it works. Oftentimes we don't see DHEA turning into testosterone. It just kind of depends on the quality of DHEA and where your blockage is in that whole cascade of making testosterone. There is a test called a Dutch test where we actually take saliva from you and urine samples where it can tell us that whole pathway, that whole breakdown of starting at cholesterol and ending up at testosterone, where is the blockage in testosterone formation? So sometimes if you have the resources, you might want to go an extra step to figure out what's happening and where the blockage is in terms of testosterone formation. But DHEA, typically speaking, tends to be kind of one of those harmless things that you can throw in there and see if it's going to work. So that's kind of like what we call a Hail Mary. Throw it in there and say, well, let's see. Are we going to make some more testosterone? Okay. So great. So I always like to start out with telling you how, sharing with you some things that other people are sharing about how things are going. Now, I love this one. This is actually coming from Howard here. And what I love about Howard's testimonial, and shout out to Howard, we spoke this week and we'll be working together to get things on a better track. But Howard says, so I've been doing your nitric oxide booster, your dick ups, your smoothies, pumping, and was getting really kind of discouraged as I was seeing little improvement. I tried the external massager with no response. I purchased and used the internal massager and I'm starting to see morning wood. I have not seen that in years without taking Viagra. Now, mind you, it's not a raging oak, but it's wood and chubby. So I'm on the right path. I love that word. Like, it's chubby, right? I use the massager with my pumping and do it every three days. You know what I love about that? When you're sitting all day long and you've not been really moving the way that you should or we would like for you to, if you have a desk job or a desk career, it is inevitable over time, particularly if you start to gain weight, that not only are we going to have some blood flow issues, we're going to have some prostate issues and we're going to have some neurological issues, right? And If you remember the picture that I post, and maybe I'll show it here in a little bit, is that the prostate sits on top of the nerves as it goes down the pudendal bundle as it goes down to your erectile tissue. So if that prostate is enlarged, if it's swollen, if it's inflamed, it will interfere with those nerves. And technically, I consider that to be nerve damage. And one of the ways that I found helpful in my own practice and with guys at home is a bit of prostate stimulation to kind of get those nerves back on track. So I really appreciate how we're sharing that. And because what's really great about it is it just reiterates the fact that, listen, this change doesn't happen overnight, but if you keep trying, put the energy in, you will start to see shifts in whatever it is that we're talking about, right? So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share a clip from a recent episode I did with Master Lauren Johnson. So when someone comes to you, and that is their biggest piece, is that they're having trouble connecting with another person and having some erectile issues, so to speak, what's one of your first things that you try to open up for them in that space?
Thank you for such a well-put question. And I've got it right here. The tennis ball.
The tennis ball.
Especially for men, they like to go to something physical. And I'm going to say too, because we'll just cut right to some techniques. None of this is medical or psychological advice. This is just what I do on myself. This is my own practice. By watching and practicing, you agree to that. But the most vital acupoint on the body, in my opinion, as a licensed acupuncturist, certainly for men, is the perineum. Okay. In traditional tantra, there's a famous saying, if goddess wanted to hide the point of master awakening, she would put it in a place you not only wouldn't think to look for it, it would be culturally taboo. And that's the perineum. And then they have it in traditional tantra and the Tao. And so you'll see tantrikas sitting on their heel and kind of grinding, which is great. But I like the tennis ball. You just put it right on there and just for a few minutes a day, just grinding. And the idea of a reflexology point where you press it and it reflexes to other parts of the body. The perineum connects to your whole pelvic floor. Your kidneys are right there, which governs sexual energy. It connects to the brain. I mean, it just perfuses your whole energy system. And so, and then even just physically, the male G-spot is the prostate, and men have prostate issues and on. So I always try to just give people, here's one thing, boom, sit on a tennis ball. And usually they'll feel a benefit enough that then they'll be open to more of the practices.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. So this one comes from Charles. What I love about Charles is listen to this. Now this, you can relate. Hello, Dr. Rachel. I tried the tape, and we're going to talk about this. I tried the tape on the mouth. The first night I had to take it off, but since then I put it on every night. I'm 70 years old and have always worked out. I'm pretty much a country boy. The tape seems to do its job. I sleep well, and I have noticed the stuff below gets stiff 2 or 3 times a night, and I wake up with it at attention in the morning. This is a 70-year-old who really had noticed that he wasn't getting morning wood anymore. Now, he takes pretty good care of himself. He's a country boy. He's exercising. He's doing things. But you basically get into this habit of thinking by the time you're 70, maybe it just won't be working. Just should not be the case. And when I wake it up with it at attention in the morning, thank you. I seem to have more energy all day. You take care and thank you again. We'll keep watching. Love the natural way with no pills. So what Charles is actually talking about is a video where I discuss how you can boost your nitric oxide production and your blood flow through nose breathing, right? So one thing I want to share about nasal breathing and how important this is. So what mouth taping rationally is really very simple. It's basically, listen, everybody's complaining, the kids are complaining, the spouse is complaining that you're snoring all the time. And then you also may notice that as you're sitting there at work, you might be like, mouth breathers typically have worse health parameters than nasal breathers. And science has gotten to the point where now we understand why. So let me share with you why all of a sudden he is getting stiff just by mouth taping, right? So this picture here, what we have are a picture of your sinuses, right? So some of you get sinus infections and you're taking a bunch of antibiotics all the time. It's the minute sinus pressure happens. But our sinuses are this green area, the blue area, and the purple area. So basically, they sit in this pattern right here. And what we know now is that this is one of the biggest reservoirs of nitric oxide in the body. And when I say reservoir, like when we breathe out of our nose, this is how they figured it out. They realized when you exhale that nitric oxide is kind of coming out. So what they did is they wanted to see, is it the nose? Is it right in here that's making the nitric oxide, or is it way up in here? And sure, right in here does make nitric oxide, but where the nitric oxide magic happens are in the sinus cavities. And it makes sense because we need nitric oxide to go into the lungs to keep our lung blood pressure down. Nitric oxide availability keeps all of our blood pressure down. It regulates blood pressure and it regulates blood flow. So if you remember our conversation, and you may not have been with me then, or you may not have heard this, I said, when you're having sex, what you want to do, which is not only going to be sexy for your partner, but it's going to make you stiffer right in that moment, is humming. And if you don't believe me, I want to share this with you. When you hum, look at this study here. Humming, nitric oxide, and paranasal sinus obstruction. This was done back in 2003. And what this article and this study basically shows is that the amount of nitric oxide produced in the body, in the reservoirs, went way up during humming than it did when you just regularly breathe out in and out through your nose. So for nitric oxide production, boosting stiffness, getting stiffer and harder, bringing back nitric oxide flow so that you can actually bring back those nighttime erections, for some of you, it is going to be as simple as making sure that when you're asleep at night, you're not up there, right? How many of you, you know, we've all been guilty. And I tell you, that's the one thing that one of the things that I am such a stickler on in my house is close your mouth, breathe out of your nose, because we want that nitric oxide to be produced, particularly because everyone in my house is Black, African-American. And I know for a fact that as African-Americans, we have a lot of trouble with nitric oxide synthase, which is important for nitric oxide production. And nitric oxide is important for not just stiffness, but our blood pressure and for every other thing that happens in our body. This is ultimately why nitric oxide is so very important. So I wanted to put this article up here because I want you to know that when I'm telling you to breathe out of your mouth, when I'm telling you to shut your mouth, when I'm saying maybe you want to look into some mouth tape, that you understand where the science is coming from. This was back in 2003, we've known this. So, right, so a lot of this information never gets to us, or it just sounds fake. This is not fake. This is not a drill. Your nitric oxide, your biggest nitric oxide reservoir in your nasal sinuses. So if you have chronic nasal infections, if you have allergic rhinitis, if you get a lot of allergies, that's why it's really important to make sure that we're taking care of this area. Are we trying nasal sinus rinses, right? Are you making sure that you have the right probiotics on board? You want to try all of that before you end up taking those antibiotics every couple months to fight this, because those antibiotics, they can break down the tendons in your body. Before you know it, you've got a fracture, you know, so be very mindful that this area of the body is way more important than anyone ever says it is. And that's why this gentleman has had such a major experience with mouth taping. Right? Anyone else mouth tape in the audience there? Are you, like, that's watching? Anyone else can? Hello there. It's great. The big homie Joe says, I have sleep apnea, so I tape my mouth every night. So before you start mouth taping, everybody, talk to your doctor about it. But I just read a really great scholarly article, a clinical trial from an otolaryngologist who basically is advocating that he has had more cure rate with mouth taping and sleep apnea than he has by putting someone on CPAP and all of that. So talk to your doctor, see if it's a right solution for you, because it's not going to be right for everyone. But one of the first things I correct in gentlemen is mouth tape. Are you sitting around too much of the day with your mouth open? This is oftentimes, too, why we train athletes, and we see some of them, and you might see some of them with their mouth taped. And you're like, dude, why is your mouth taped open while you're playing basketball? And it's because the coach or the trainer recognizes that we will get more out of a player if he has that extra nitric oxide boost, because nitric oxide is huge for stamina and for exercise capabilities, right? So some people are training with mask on or designed to keep your mouth shut so that you can actually benefit from the nitric oxide boost that you get from the nasal sinuses. This is great. What about when wearing a CPAP? So you can't do a CPAP and mouth tape at the same time, Neverson. But what you can do is speak with your ENT doctor about whether or not he feels as though or she feels as though you would be a good candidate for mouth taping. And so what I would actually suggest, and I'm going to see if my team will post these resources afterwards, is, you know, showing them the data and the articles on mouth taping and sleep apnea. Because see, the problem with using the CPAP for sleep apnea, unfortunately, is that it doesn't address the underlying cause, right? It's just basically a Band-Aid. It's just going to support you while you're sleeping, but it doesn't help you lose weight, which could help with the sleep apnea. It's not correcting anything. But what they found with mouth taping is that it actually helps correct the problem. Making sure that breathing is happening through the nasal passages is such a big deal that Native Americans actually used to, when they would wrap the babies up into like a papoose, they would actually situate the babies so that they made sure that the mouth was closed, because they knew, culturally speaking, they knew somehow or the other, I don't know if they knew the science behind it or what, but they knew that children were healthier, happier, smarter, and they grow up actually looking different if they keep their mouth closed and blow out of their nose. There's a lot of science behind just even if you think about it, it's almost like a waterway. If we have water coursing through an area, eventually the water can erode and form its own pathway, right? So the science behind nasal breathing and making sure that air is moving through your nose at night is that movement of air actually starts to heal the sinuses and the nasal passages. That's why we have to fight to get air coming through the nose. It's, you know, if you have polyps or chronic allergies or chronic sinusitis, it's worth it to really spend a lot of time fixing that, because what we actually know is that polyps in the sinuses are actually associated with hypertension. And why is that? Because the nitric oxide isn't being produced. And so the blood pressure is getting higher because those blood vessels can't expand and accept blood flow, right? So nitric oxide is such an important thing. And if you can make more of it simply by being mindful when you're typing, sitting at your desk, making sure you're not like, but that your mouth is actually closed, being mindful at night that your mouth is closed, all of that makes a huge, huge, huge difference. And if you think about it, the nights where you sleep on the couch like that and you didn't even realize you were there, you're like, I feel like crap the next day. It may not necessarily be because you were on the couch. It may be because your mouth was hanging open and you missed out on an opportunity to oxygenate
dominate your body in the way that it wants to be. Love it. Awesome. So let me see. Let me get you our next question. Any questions in the chat? Let's see. Dr. Rachel, are any side effects from mouth taping? Listen, mouth taping isn't for everybody. I mean, if you pretty much cannot breathe out of your nose and you just run off and do mouth taping without the help of somebody who is trained to help you breathe properly, you know, you could pass out, right? So mouth taping is definitely something that you want to talk to your physician about, particularly if you have sleep apnea or any other nasal passage issue. Another thing with mouth taping is it's basically, now we have mouth tape that you can buy on Amazon and different brands of it, but mouth taping is basically taking good old-fashioned surgical tape and just poof, taping your mouth shut. So of course, when you take it off, you can pull some skin off. You could have irritation from the tape. But one thing about mouth taping, and let's just be clear, there's no money in mouth taping for the doctors. There's no money in mouth taping for big pharma. So I don't ever think that mouth taping is going to catch on like wildfire. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that after I do this video and you start to see more and more mouth tape videos, what's going to happen is you'll see more articles about why you should not mouth tape and how dangerous it is and this and this and this and that. Like now, people are trying to tell you, do not eat vegetables, do not eat fruit. So I would venture to say that, you know, with some of this stuff, you kind of have to be a maverick. You know, I had a gentleman tell me the other day that he asked the doctor about prostate massage. He's like, well, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything, but it sure isn't going to help either. And of course, it ended up helping. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt, figure out how it works for you, if it fits. And particularly, you know, if you got a beard or a mustache, you know, now that we have little slings that can sit there and go like this and keep your mouth shut at night. It's kind of like a little sling that puts the chin up so that you don't have to worry about taping the beard and the mustache because, you know, aesthetics is important. You know, the beard and the mustache may be an important part of who you are and tape won't stick. So there's a lot of different things out there, but honestly, my results with mouth taping has been that it helps a lot of people, and I definitely think it's worth looking into. Okay, Jerry, more information on your smoothies. Sure. So eFunction smoothie recipes, we have free smoothies too. You know, message my staff right there that are helping me out, helping me moderate things. But the eFunction smoothie recipes, game changer for a lot of people. Because what we've done is we've put clinically proven food items into a smoothie formation. Now, why smoothies and not drinking? Because smoothies actually require that you chew them, right? And if you are listening to this nitric oxide piece, what we want to do when we are putting nitrates in our mouth, we want to chew them. We want them to be activated by the saliva, the bacteria in the saliva. Then we want to swallow them. We want them to be converted into nitrites. We want them to get into the stomach. We want the stomach acid to make the reduction, the chemical equation even more so that we can actually start making nitric oxide. Unfortunately, in a lot of our bodies, what's happening is that we go and we eat a nitrate-rich meal and maybe the bacteria in the mouth is thrown off. So the bacteria cannot turn it into a nitrite. So that nitrate-rich meal, which was designed to boost nitric oxide, isn't really doing its job because the bacteria is thrown off in the mouth. Maybe it's because you're using too much mouthwash. Maybe it's because you got gingivitis. Maybe something else is going on there, right? I find an African-American gentleman, peppermint and Listerine is killing off the flora and it's making it this process not work as well. There's also been data, very great data that connects mouthwash to high blood pressure. Why is mouthwash causing high blood pressure? Because it's killing off the bacteria that's supposed to activate this whole process of nitric oxide production, right? So then once the nitrates get in the system, now we're making nitric oxide and that nitric oxide circulates. What I want you to keep in mind is that there are two different ways that your body's going to be making nitric oxide. One through your diet and the other one through your blood vessels. But if those blood vessels are sick or diseased, or they don't have the enzyme, the nitric oxide synthase, working well enough to actually make nitric oxide, then those blood vessels start to get sick and different chronic diseases can start to take hold. Erectile dysfunction is just one of them. So what the smoothies are designed to do is deliver concentrated levels of high nitrate rich food along with the nutrients and the vitamins necessary to help restore healthy cardiovascular systems, to restore erectile function. So when we think about what's happening on a daily basis with aging and electromagnetic rays and toxins from the food and the environment and the air and the stress and all of that, what we know is that we need something on board on a regular basis that's going to help fight off all of that. You know, like what the antioxidants, the phytonutrients, the plant nutrients. And so that's essentially what each of the smoothies actually does. And so what we do is each smoothie is named based off of what it's designed to do. So we have like a vitality smoothie. We have a dick up smoothie. We have a darker the berry smoothie. We have, you know, like basically these recipes, as interesting as it is, this is why I always say food can be thy medicine. These recipes are changing the landscape of guys in terms of their erectile function, but also their general health. I'm getting messages about hypertension going down, diabetes being under control. Because even though you're hypertensive today, doesn't mean you have to be one tomorrow. Even though you're diabetic today or pre-diabetic, doesn't mean that you need to be one tomorrow. So the E-Function smoothie recipes are, yes, about erectile function, but we're also can't forget the fact that erectile function and overall wellness and health are all connected right there together. So it's magnesium, it's omega-3 fatty acids, it's zinc, it's vitamin C, it's nitrates. It's really all of those things kind of put into smoothie, delicious smoothies that you rotate through that are designed to kind of help you get back to the promised land. Thank you for listening to Give Me an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Rachel Institute, win prizes, and so much more. The details are in the show notes below. And if you want more from me, check me out on social media and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Until next week, live free and go hard.